T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ed Hutton joins us live in studio. He is the director of the Financial Markets Laboratory at Niagara University. Ed, we're trying to wrap our heads around Bitcoin this morning. Why don't we start with this? Where should people start if they're looking into putting some of their money in Bitcoin? What's the first piece of information they should look at?
Well, the first thing that people should look at is that for most people, this is not really a good investment. Okay, that's the very first thing. This is not like investing in a stock. It's not like investing in a bond or even investing in a collectible. Here, I would go back, and if people remember back 20 years ago or so, this idea, we had these things called Beanie Babies. These were cute little collectible toys, and the whole idea was that there was a certain limited edition of certain Beanie Babies, right? Remember that? And so people would go out and they would say, well, I got this particular Beanie Baby, and I just heard that it sold for $5,000.
Yeah, they're going to pay for my college someday.
They're going to pay for my college. That's right. This is my retirement in these Beanie Babies. And because that there was a limited supply of those, people expected that the value would go up. And so people actually invested in those. As it turns out, the company that made it said, well, you know what? If these get to be valuable, we'll just make more of them. And the value fell. And so what we're seeing right now is that one of the things that's happening is that while Bitcoin are rare, that there's a limited number of them, there's a lot of other digital currencies right now, like Ether and other types of things, which basically do the same sort of thing. And it's one of the things that's leading to the fall in value. For most people, this is not a good investment.
Joining us live in studio this morning is the director of the Financial Markets Laboratory at Niagara University, Ed Hutton. And we're talking all about Bitcoin, kind of a Bitcoin 101. Now, somebody texted in, Bitcoin, it's backed up by nothing. Well, it's backed up by this thing called blockchain, which, Ed, I'm going to explain to you my three-year-old, as I call it, grasp on blockchain. Basically, a way of verifying transactions and encrypting them. But the question I have is, how exactly is that worth money?
Yeah, well, let me try to give an analogy for what happens in blockchain. Let's think about getting a gift certificate. You know, so if you might get a gift certificate, let's say to a coffee shop, and that gift certificate, you know, I got one of those cards, $25 card to one of the coffee shops, and I know that I can go into that coffee shop and buy $25 worth of coffee and donuts, that sort of thing, and that's backed up, that's guaranteed by the donut shop itself. Okay, and so I know that I have some value that's on that card. What blockchain does is that blockchain realizes that there's a vulnerability there, because if that coffee shop goes out of business, then I don't have any value. And if that coffee shop, if somebody is for some reason interested in what kind of coffee I'm buying, well, they can get the records of that coffee shop, or they can hack in and they can learn an awful lot about me. What blockchain is a really revolutionary technology that says, instead of there being a central backer for this, you know, like the coffee shop, instead what we're going to do is we're going to have everybody that has those cards record every time I buy something or get more credit in an encrypted database. And that's all it is. It's an encrypted database. I have the particular key, and I know that I have a particular amount of credits. And if I go to spend those credits, to exchange those credits with somebody else, they can use that key and say, oh, yeah, okay, he does have $20 in purchasing power. Now, where I was just saying before that I thought that Bitcoin was not a great investment, I think that these blockchain technologies, in terms of investment right now, is probably going to be as significant, some people say, as the internet.
Ed Hutton joins us live in studio. He's the director of the Financial Markets Laboratory at Niagara University, and we're talking all about Bitcoin. Now, Ed, in our last segment, you tried to explain to us a little bit about blockchain, basically the technology behind Bitcoin and how that translates into actual money. Now, say you have some Bitcoin. How do you get the money out of it?
Well, that's where the problem has been right now, is that we saw that with the rise of Bitcoin, especially over the last year, the price of Bitcoin rose dramatically over the last year. And so what that meant, that when we talk about what the prices are, what we can do is we can look at what has one Bitcoin sold for to somebody else. And so if there was a transaction where someone sold a Bitcoin for, at one point last year, as high as $19,800, I believe was the top. So we see that. We see somebody sell one Bitcoin for $19,800. And if we have multiple Bitcoin, we think to ourselves, we're rich. And well, whenever we feel rich, we want to spend some of that money. But of course, there's not that many places that we can spend our Bitcoin. And so what we want to do is that convert that into dollars. And in order to do that, what happened just recently is that a whole bunch of people tried to sell their Bitcoin. Well, when you sell your Bitcoin, you're selling it to dollars, but that floods the market with Bitcoin, and there are no buyers, or the buyers are not there. And the only way to entice a buyer is to dramatically lower the price. And so what we're going through right now is that you might think you're wealthy, but then when you go to convert that into cash, it turns out it's a lot harder.
The way you're describing it, it seems like a stock, but it's not a stock. It's a form of currency. Does this change this way we talk about Bitcoin as more and more places accept it as they do cash?
Well, sure. There are places right now in the world where there really aren't ATMs. There's just for security reasons, for technology reasons, for other types of things. Well, think about somebody in a remote village somewhere who might want to subscribe to Netflix. Well, they don't have a credit card. You know, they don't have a credit card, so they can't do that. They have internet access now in a lot of places, so they want to be able to subscribe to Netflix, and they have to pay $11-$12 a month. Well, it's very difficult without a credit card to be able to do that, but with Bitcoin, that does allow someone to be able to do that. And so what we're starting to see is that there are more and more places that, especially in areas that are not well served by banks, that are starting to accept Bitcoin. So that's one of the places. Of course, the dark side of Bitcoin and blockchain is that because there's no central authority, it's where a lot of some pretty nefarious transactions are tending to take place.
Is this concept the way of the future? Even if it's not Bitcoin, if it's something else.
Yeah, it. I think it really is. If you look at what's happening right now in the banking industry and the financial services industry, you'll see that one of the biggest concerns that people have right now is with hacking. Okay, with people breaking into bank accounts, transferring money. 80% of the transactions on the stock market right now are executed between computers right now instead of the physical traders that we're seeing. And at some point, even worse than it is, there's going to be additional crashes. There are going to be additional hacks like that. And this blockchain technology, when it gets fully implemented, for a lot of people, they think that that's the eventual solution to that very, very disturbing problem.
Now, is that move, it would make us safer? Would it also mean that, you know, the dollar bills, the two that I have left in my pocket, don't exist anymore? That, you know, even though we do pay for everything, it seems electronically now that, I mean, that would literally be everything is electronic.
Well, yeah, and again, you were mentioning it here. And anybody under 30, if you ask them how much money, how much cash do you carry around, it's just a few dollars, a few dollars where it might have been many, many dollars in the past. Here, yes, it's an electronic form of payment. It's getting more and more used. The problem is that what happened, especially last week, is that we saw a number of countries in China and in Korea and now in Europe saying that they're thinking about putting very tight restrictions, even outlawing in some cases the use of Bitcoin as a payment mechanism just because they can't track it. And what it does is it leads to concerns about money laundering.
Back to Bitcoin, as it goes mainstream, we're kind of doing a Bitcoin 101 this morning with Ed Hutton, who's in studio from Niagara University. Ed, I've just got to bring this up. The Bitcoin, as you're trying to help us all understand it, it's being compared to gambling. Do you get that?
We sure I do. Yeah, with the problem with gambling is speculation without anything really backing it up here. And one of the things that they're trying to do right now with Bitcoin is to be able to have a mechanism to be able to determine its value. You know, because anytime you want to use anything in a transaction, you want to know what its value is. And one of the things that happens, if we think about other things that get traded, like corn and oil and gold, well, their trading takes place on organized exchanges. And those organized exchanges do a lot to be able to rein in the volatility, rein in the price changes, so that even though it might change, it changes in a more predictable pattern or a more predictable range. And that's one of the things that's changing now with Bitcoin. Is just a few weeks ago, the exchanges, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the Chicago Board of Options Exchange, established futures contracts on Bitcoin. So that what that did is that allowed you for the first time to be able to invest not in the Bitcoin, but rather into a security whose value was tied to a Bitcoin with a pretty stable and well-known exchange. So for a lot of the people who had wanted to make an investment in Bitcoin, this gave them the opportunity not only to invest because they thought the price was going up, but also to sell short because they think the price is going down. And hopefully what that's going to lead is a more stable price mechanism for it.
We're talking about Bitcoin and the technology behind it, blockchain, with Ed Hutton, director of the Financial Markets Laboratory at Niagara University. We're really starting to understand, I think, the concept a little bit, but Bitcoin, some would call a digital currency, virtual currency. The blockchain that's behind it, there's a lot of Bitcoins, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, there's a lot of different types, and we don't really know which one will become the most used. It might be Bitcoin, it might be Ethereum, it might be one of these other types of competitors. We're not going to know that for a while, but you can't ignore the fact that the currency aspect of it, although it's what's getting the most publicity right now, that's only one part of this whole concept of blockchain. And in order to understand why this is going to be so exciting and why I think it's going to affect our lives so much in the next decade or so, is to think about what one of the greatest threats is now to not just financial services, but to our privacy. And that is the fact that someone over the internet has the ability to be able to convince somebody they're us. And so they get access to our records, and they get access to our money, and they get access to whether it's our financial information or health information, whatever. And they can do us harm that way. It's very, very difficult to be able to prove who we are. What the blockchain does is the blockchain is a mechanism that says that we don't leave our information on somebody else's computer where it might get stolen, but that what it allows us to do is for us to have total control over that. And it turns out that that's really what's so exciting. And it's going to, I think, eventually completely change the way that we deal with people digitally. Instead of sort of having everything on the Google computer or the Facebook computer, it will be on a distributed
system. And it won't just be, we're not talking just about money. You mentioned medical records could be on the blockchain.
Oh, it could be. Not just our medical records, but also all of the emails that we've sent, all of the communications we've sent, all the posts that we've liked on Facebook, all of our Instagram, all those types of things. Right now, we rely on that being on somebody else's computer where it's vulnerable. And what this blockchain does is this blockchain says that we are going to get to the point where we'll control that through encrypted keys.
And you envision in the very near future banks, the Federal Reserve, kind of switching to this blockchain technology as a way to do business?
Right now, I think that in the cybersecurity area right now, which is one of the biggest worries that banks and financial institutions and governments have, that blockchain is being very, very actively studied, and it's being actively implemented. And it will, I think, I have believe, have a very, very profound effect on the way we do business.
Ed Hutton with us from Niagara University. We're talking about Bitcoin and the blockchain technology that's behind it. Ed, on our text line, someone says their father, they and their father bought a $10,000 Bitcoin. When it was in the infancy stage, it was only $100 for the lot. We can't find the wallet file. That's a real problem, right?
Yeah, that is a problem. The way in which we hold Bitcoin, of course, it's a virtual currency. So what we do is we hold it in digital wallets. You can almost think about it like a digital wallet as almost being an account there. And there's a whole bunch of different providers for those digital wallets where we hold our Bitcoin. The problem is that because of the decentralized nature of the Bitcoin, again, that's one of its advantages. If you do lose your password, there's no 800 number. There's no friendly person that you can go down the street and sit in the office and say, "Hey, listen, I lost my password, and I need to get back into my account." There is none of that in Bitcoin.
So for Bitcoin, and this was the one thing I kept trying to wrap my head around through the last months of reading up on it, wondering how it relates to blockchain. We know blockchain's the technology behind Bitcoin, but how does it translate to have value? Basically, Bitcoin is the reward for all the people in their garages or basements or wherever who are maintaining this big blockchain technology.
Well, it's much more than just the garages. what happens is that in order... Bitcoin is being released. When it was originally created, there was a limit that there would be no more than 25 million Bitcoins issued. And so what happens is that the computer programs that are in this network release Bitcoins on a regular schedule. And the way that you earn a Bitcoin, it's called Bitcoin mining. You know, it almost sounds like you're down digging it up or something. But Bitcoin mining is distributed out to the computers that are contributing the most to the network. And so what's happening now in different countries, there are actually these Bitcoin mines. And they're not, you know, people with lights on their helmets or anything else like that. These are computer servers working day in and day out to process Bitcoin transactions, the blockchain, so that they earn those new Bitcoins. That's how they get paid. So Bitcoin is a form of payment for people to participate in the blockchain network.
Wow. So forget Apple Pay, forget PayPal. We're going this way.
Well, the Apple Pay and the underlying structures of those right now rely on some security protocols. And what a lot of people think that in the next decade or so, or maybe even sooner, the way things are going, is that this will now become blockchain technology. And the biggest threat to that, again, is security, and that this blockchain technology will alleviate a lot of those security concerns.
All right. Well, hopefully everybody learned a little bit something about Bitcoin today. Ed Hutton is the director of the Financial Markets Laboratory at Niagara University. Ed, I think you did a great job of breaking it all down for us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.